Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as Kantianism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Moving Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
If all radio stations in town were palm trees, we'd be the one with the biggest coconut.
Check this out. We got a great show coming your way today.
Hey, everybody, check it out!
All I can say is wow.
Lock it on to the best station on the net. Online.
God, I love the station.
I am completely in awe of him.
I'm addicted to this.
I'm excited to have him.
You got it going on, girl.
I love you.
Hey everyone, welcome. This is Dr. Joanna Wells coming to you from Illuminating Minds. It's funny, I used to have a radio show like that. Moving Beyond the Matrix, Moving Beyond the Matrix from freedomizerradio.com. Goodness gracious. Oh my gosh. But anyway, it's all good. It's all good because it is here. We are here to illuminate your mind anyway, right? So yeah. Finally on live. I was on Sunday, but I wasn't on live at the time. I guess there was a weirdness going on with the system, but everything's good. Everything seems to be good so far. And yeah, so the solar flare or the solar eclipse came and went, guys, right? It came and went, and we're still here. We're still alive. We haven't died. The rapture didn't come. We're still here. What a nice feeling that is to be here, right? So yeah, very, very, very interesting times. You know, it's just like what I mentioned, nothing major was going to happen. You know, sure, there was some people who have experienced like complications as far as, you know, health problems, headaches, feeling nauseous, you know, definitely. Me too. I started feeling like that. I actually felt very faint that day. I was just like sitting on my computer and I felt like I was about to faint. I wasn't even outside to look at the sun or the moon, whatever the heck. I didn't really want to go out there. And I just, you know, I did feel the intensity. I actually felt the intensity a week prior on the way to the solar eclipse event. That's how intuitive I am or highly sensitive I am. So like my daughter and I, we were feeling really weird. One day we felt just so tired, just so heavy and exhausted. Like we were just like, gosh, we were just feeling too tired, too exhausted to do anything. And it was happening a couple times that week. And then on that day, felt a little nauseous. So That's all that ever happened. I don't know what happened in the States. You know, like I said, I'm here in Mexico, so I don't really see all the action there going on in the States. I haven't since 2020, since the whole COVID thing. It's been a while since I've been there. So, yeah, it's been pretty a wild ride, you know, while we were there. I mean, I miss the States. It's a beautiful place. I miss my country. But unfortunately, there's just so many crazy things going on there. A lot of wild weirdness happening, but it's all good. It's all good. Pretty soon, I'm going to have a special guest on the call, and he is a VA or veteran, Iraqi veteran, you know, not a VA veteran, but, you know, a Vietnam veteran, but an Iraqi veteran who actually served in the military, and he had some experiences, and he has a lot of crazy stories to share with you, like things that have just happened to him that was really out of this world. And he did mention something as far as that he was used for remote viewing purposes because, I guess, of his psychic ability. So I'm just going to wait for him to get on the call, and I'm hoping to, you know, hear from him soon. So until then, hopefully he's able to call in fine. I know that there was some type of system issue before where callers were having an issue trying to call in. So I really, really hope for the best today, really, because this Blog Talk Radio system has been just kind of cuckoo. Cuckoo for who knows what reason. So anyway, so I just wanted to share with you some interesting updates with Moving Beyond the Matrix. You probably wouldn't notice a lot of my followers and viewers and all that. I've seen the website has gone down, the securecreditor.com and the Moving Beyond the Matrix. I decided to just kick it. And the reason why I decided to shut it down, for one of the reasons, I think it's totally shadow banned because I'm not getting any views, hardly at all. And it's really weird. You know, I've been blogging. I've been doing everything I need to be doing. And for some reason, it's just like really dead. I don't know what the heck's going on. And it's a site that's based out of Iceland. So, I figured I just kind of got sick and tired of it. And that is the thing. You know, when you speak your truth and you share with people interesting information that could really protect their assets from seizures, open up a trust checking account that is tax-free completely and it's perfectly legal. And, you know, ways that you can really put your money away in a place where it's completely safe. It's like, you know, safe as a corporation, but actually even better than a corporation because you don't have to register it every year. So I've been, you know, teaching people how to do that with a Silver Bullet Trust. And I've been teaching people how to become secure creditors for many years. And, you know, it's really weird. When my YouTube channel got taken down back in 2018, that was it. You know, I had over 100,000 subscribers, and it was real easy for me. Like, the moment I put a video up, man, I would get thousands of views, like 10, 20,000, 40,000. It was very easy for me to get views. It was not hard. That was my life for, like, so many years since 2008. And then finally, when they pulled the plug, that just changed everything. And it's really weird how things work out. You know, it's like they know who you are, and no matter where you go, if you're on another platform, they can find you or something. It's just really crazy. When I got on TikTok, though, it was like I had a lot of views. I mean, a shitload. Like, it was insane. Like, the next day I'd wake up in the morning and I would find like 10,000 views and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just like old times, you know, it's just like old times like being on YouTube, you know, those years. And I haven't, for some reason, they took me down as well. They took me down. I had 13,000 followers and they took me down again. I was able to build it for a year. I was doing very well. I had a bunch of clients. I was there to share with them what I know. And that was it. And then one time I tried to post how to fill in an SS4 for 98. I did that. It didn't last like 2 seconds. It was off. And I'm like, wow, you know, this is worse than this is a China run app, worse than YouTube. And so, hold on 1 second. I'm writing Paul right now to let him know that I'm on the air, so hopefully he can call in. He's not having any problems. I pray that he doesn't. There's been so many issues. But anyway, so now that that's happened, and my website just looks like it's invisible. Like, you know, hardly anybody's going there. I'm not getting any traffic, and it's just very eerie shit, okay? And yes, I have to admit I wasn't blogging the way that I was supposed to be blogging. Like every week, you know, you're supposed to be blogging like a couple times a week, one time a week, but it has to be consistent. And I didn't do that. It was off and on, but still, you know, my site would be up there. Like what the heck? And all the views dropped, the traffic dropped. So I figured, and it was weird because when I sent out, let's say a post about the Silver Bullet Trust today, maybe 20 views. Okay, and it's on my new site, which is RavenMoonshadowTemple.com, and then I sent out my other posts, like just about magical stuff, you know what I mean, about vampires and whatever, and then I get a shitload of views, like 6,800 and something, the solar eclipse of 200 views. I'm like, it was like real fast that day, and I thought to myself, what the frick is going on? Why are they shadow banning? You know, why are they doing this? And it's because, obviously, they don't want people to know the truth. And when you're in a situation like that, where it gets really hard to bring in, you know, people to educate them on something that could totally save their lives, it's going to be very, very difficult to run a business, obviously. So that's why I pretty much decided, you know, I'm still, you know, like I said, I'm still selling the Silver Bullet Trust. I'm still pushing that out there. I'm pushing it out as far as getting, doing the, what do you call it? The May program, you know, I'm pushing that out there as well. I'm really, really pushing it out there. And, you know, so far I have a few people that are really interested. They want to sign up for May. And we'll see what happens with that, see how that goes. But I'm just really grateful that things are working out in a way where, number one, crypto's kicking ass. I'm doing very well with that. My husband's got a really good business going. He's kicking ass. He's doing call centers with his partner. He partnered up in a business, and they're just making really good money. So it's like it happened in the perfect timing when things started going down with my business. It was like, whoa, you know, definitely you know that you're being watched by something out there, like your spirit guides, your angels, whatever you want to call them. And yeah, you know, it's kind of happened like that in my life. It's like a close call in my life. Like, oh my gosh, you know, when things get really scary with business or work or things slow down and you're like, what the hell, you know, and then all of a sudden there's help right there. Always something. Somebody's there for you, ready to help you out. And that's just how it is. So So the RavenMoonshadowTemple.com is my site. That's the go-to site. And on there, I do my posts. I post the Moving Beyond the Matrix and all of that as well. So I do my posts. I put my posts on there as well. So everyone has weekly, they get to listen to weekly radio shows and everything. So, but anyway, it seems like he's not calling in. I don't know what's going on. I guess the show must go on without him when he shows up. That would be nice. Okay. I don't know what to say. But anyway, so the Raven Moon Shadow Temple is a pagan Luciferian temple. And I've explained exactly what it is all about on the website. And some people are like, oh, my God, Luciferian, that's scary. That's Lucifer. That's the devil. That's Satan. And really, he's not, because as a pagan, as a practicing pagan for so many years, you know, in Wicca, witchcraft and all that, Lucifer was actually a Greek deity thousands of years before he ever showed up on the Bible. So he had nothing to do with Christianity. The Christians tend to borrow him, or the Jews tend to borrow him and decided to use his name and say that he was an evil entity and all that stuff. So, which I find to be very interesting. And that's pretty much it. So they're completely different, like Satanism and Luciferianism. With Luciferianism, we're all about knowledge, always wanting to learn knowledge, wanting to research, wanting to know more to better ourselves. We're not like the Satanists where, and nothing wrong with the Satanists. They're actually pretty cool people. The ones that are like, you know, they're level-headed atheist type people too as well. They just don't believe in being bogged down by authority, and they believe in liberation, freedom, all of that. You know, if you smack me across the face, I'm going to smack you across the face. See how you like it. You know, it's none of that turn the cheek and all that stuff, and actually put up with being abused. But they're, I guess more their emphasis is basically, it's a little, I don't know if it would be more adversarial. They're all adversarial to Yahweh, I guess you can say, but it's basically that they're very, they're more about indulgence, like, indulge in life and just take what you want and enjoy. I mean, as long as you don't harm anybody, you know. But Luciferian is more like, yeah, we'll indulge when you know, once in a while. We're more moderate. We deal with moderation, and we're just all about wanting to better ourselves. You know, I wouldn't even call it even Luciferian. I just think it's more of like, it's not even a religion. It's more of a philosophy. That's what it is. It's like based on metaphysics. It really is based in metaphysical philosophy is what it is. It's totally grounding. It had a lot of reason involved, a lot of logic involved. If you take Luciferian the word off, you would think it's like a Socrates or Aristotle type philosophy, really. And that's just pretty much what it is. You know, it's just trying to help people to become more aware that there's a lot of misconceptions and myths regarding certain paganistic spirituality. And you have to realize it was the pagans that were mutilated by the Christians. It wasn't the other way around. They were mutilated by the Roman Catholic Church just for worshiping their nature spirits. It's just like, you know, the people in the Amazon, they worship their deities, you know, the deities of the river, you got deities of the trees, you got deities of herbal medicine. But, you know, and these people got slaughtered for it, and because they didn't want to convert to Christianity or something like that. So that's what I'm talking about. That's what paganism is all about, okay? It's earth-based religions is what it is. Earth-based religions, okay? So that's what Luciferianism is. And I highly recommend, if you ever want to get involved, at least read about it. It's on my website, ravenmanshadowtemple.com, and there's a book called Apotheosis by Michael Ford. He's a hell of a freaking writer, this guy. If you guys are into history at all, like the way I am, like ancient history of the Near East, you know, the Middle East and all that stuff, I'm in love with that history. He's amazing. I think he even had a degree or a certificate in studying that. Like he's a historian or something. So he puts a lot of real history in his books where you're getting a lot of information, and you can tell this guy knows his shit. And I'm like, man, I want to eat up all his books. Just the fact that he knows his history. You know what I mean? It's like, I love the spell stuff, the ritual stuff, but really, I really get into the history. And another book you have to read is In His Image by John Lamb Lash. Okay. Very good freaking book, guys. Very good book. Take notes. You know, that is written by a guy who's a scholar, and he has been studying Aramaic since he was really young. He got into books since he was a kid, going to the library. Sounds like me when I was a kid. And I mean, I just couldn't get enough of libraries. That's all I ever wanted to do was go into a library, you know. And he knows how to translate Aramaic. That's a very hard language to do, as even the Dead Sea Scrolls, very ancient scrolls of what they mean. That, you know, that type of stuff gets me so freaking excited, man. I don't know about you, but I'm all into that scholarly stuff, you know. That gets me high. That, to me, is a party. I think I would have a party at a library, you know, and have coffee, you know, maybe have a little vino, and just be in a place just filled with freaking books. Like, that's my life. Like, that's me. So I don't know if you guys are into it. You know, I've already written, like, 6 books already. And I'm on my seventh book, writing a book, and it's based on Luciferian magic, okay, and demonoltry, okay? And I have a little bit of Azazel in there because it was because of him, you know, he introduced me to this whole world. And I'm already on chapter six. I've been just writing away. I should be done before the end of April. And I can't wait to get this book out there because my views have completely changed since I wrote my other books. You know, it was first A Grimoire of Tarot Magic, and then it turned into Sovereign Magic. You know, I wrote that book when I was in the Army, A Grimoire of Tarot Magic. And I actually, believe it or not, I wrote that book when I was having a very difficult time. I was getting kicked out of the Army because of a weird paranormal situation that happened to me that I never had anywhere else ever in my life. Okay. Really weird. It was really weird. I had this really strange experience in the Army, and I was stationed in Fort Gordon, but it was a school. It was one of my schools after basic training. And I just want to say for the record, I love the Army. You know, I don't care if they're all for, I mean, I know about the whole deception about it all. Okay. You know, they're all fighting for mobile and, you know, whatever, Exxon, I was told that because that's pretty much what it is, by a corporation doesn't have their best interest at heart. But the people are just, you know what, they teach you teamwork. They teach you that you are one arm together. You are together. You are a family. And if one guy can't do it, you all go down. You know, it was a lot of teamwork. That was something I was not used to. I was always a solitary person. And it really got me to make a lot of friends. You know, I really loved the drill sergeants. They were amazing. You know, I was so sad when I left. They really taught me a lot of things. I mean, the Army was the shit. Hoo-ah, you know. I really loved it, and I really wanted to stay as long as I could. But something happened to me in Fort Gordon. I don't know if that place is haunted or what. It changed my life, and I'm thinking maybe I had way too much acid or something at one time, you know. But I had some crazy shit that happened to me. But I don't want to talk about it until I had this special guest. I was hoping to have this special guest on, but I guess he's not coming on. That's a bummer. Oh, well. Maybe he's having a hard time calling in. Goodness. So I'm just going to go ahead and report that to Freedomizer Radio. Let's see, for some reason, I just want to put that on there. So I'll just carry on with my story, I guess. I mean, it is pretty damn interesting. It did change my life. You know, one day I was just ironing my BDUs in the barracks, and out of the blue, I had a weird flash, a sound, like a some type of tunnel sound, and then it was a tunnel vision. Lights were like flashing in my eyes, like what the heck just happened? I can't explain it. It was the most weirdest experience, and you know, I remember it like yesterday. And I started crying. I had anxiety because I'm like, what the fuck was that? And so I said, okay, yeah, you know, so they took me to a mental hospital for that time because they didn't know what the hell was going on. I didn't know. So they got me on medicine for anxiety. They got me on some shit that I'm really not proud to say. And during that time, I wrote my book. That's where I wrote my book. I started writing my book on Grimoire of Tarot Magic because it was a book based on tarot. And I realized that every time I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, all I see are books that talk about the tarot, but I don't see a book with that it deals with tarot spells and it has a correspondence of all the tarot cards and what each card can go with. Like I had this obsession and I've been reading the tarot cards since I was like 16 years old. And that's how I came to the idea of writing that book. That book came out of that moment, that time. But, you know, my writing got better, and then I ended up getting an editor. You know, I reconstructed the book several times, revision, revised the book several times, and now it's really legible. It's beautiful. You know, people have read it and like, wow, that is good work. You're a good writer. You know, like, yeah, you should have read it before. You know, I wasn't that good of a writer at the time, but you learn as you go. And really, it's reading others' works, other people's books, really reading, and then you become a better writer too. The more that you read other books, the more you become a better writer. That's what I believe. And it's helped me greatly. And then, of course, having Grammarly, that always helps too. So basically that's my focus now. You know, it was basically helping people to get their trust set up, become secure creditors. And then I realized, you know, I think this is just going, you know, I'm moving away too far from the path that I need to be on now. I've grown so much. I'm now 48, you know, I'm an old goat now. I'm an old lady almost. And I've changed a lot. And I'm like, you know what? I really want to get back into the passion of writing, but not writing about just secure creditor. It's got to be about magic, having a magical life, learning how to utilize the potential of your mind, the power of your mind, and me being a clinical hypnotherapist as well, how to utilize certain things, you know, to make your move your mind into a very strong, susceptible phase, such as theta, and be able to reprogram your mind and to create a better reality in your life. You know what I mean? And you can do it through magic. You could do it through affirmations. You could do it, but ritual work is always the shit. That's what ritual work is for. It's for you to get lost, your conscious mind to get lost in that ritual work with music and incense and altar, you know, I mean, altar candles and whatever, just put you in that mood, you know, so you get lost in it. So that way the conscious monkey mind could just shut the hell up and take a back seat, and the subconscious mind could come forth and suck in what it is that you're doing. And really it's utilizing the power of imagination. You see, that's something that we are being prevented from doing, using the power of our imagination. If you are a big-time Neville Goddard fan, I love Neville Goddard's work, by the way, he really emphasizes on using the power of imagination, okay? And that imagination is everything. And but we're so caught up in, let's say, we got to look at our TikTok, we got to look at our email, you know, that's me most of the time. But we need to have a moment to just push that shit aside and just imagine. Just live in a world of imagination for like about 20 minutes and just be there. Be in that place that you want to be in. Just imagine and experience as if you have it already. Feel good about it, you know? And all of a sudden, it will all come to you. It's just like you have to feel the feeling of actually having it already. But it could be so difficult to have that discipline to do so. You know, you're trying to discipline yourself, and you're like, oh, I got to sit here, and I got to remember, and I got to do this. And, you know, but so many things are happening around you, so many distractions. And the distractions are keeping you from doing what you're supposed to be doing, having discipline to keep at it every single day. But with magic, it's like, okay, tonight I'm going to do my ritual. Tonight is the night, and it's going to be very special. And it can last 30 minutes to an hour. And then you immerse yourself in it, and then you just let that go. And really, you know, it could be the gods helping you. It could be the angels helping you. It could be the demons helping, whatever, the fairies. But really, it's your subconscious mind that you have to appease, because it's taking in everything. It doesn't know what no is. It doesn't know what yes is. It just takes in your beliefs, whatever your belief system is, whatever your affirmations is at that moment, whatever you're commanding, whatever you're saying, whatever you're chanting out there, you're taking it in, okay? So that's pretty much it. You know, it's like we have that power with imagination. And another guy that I like listening to, what is his name? I really like listening to him. And he is, goodness, what is his name? Elmer Lockyer Elmer or something like that, Elmer Lockyer Jr. on YouTube. His uncle was trained by Neville Goddard. Uncle or grandfather, I think it's a grandfather, was trained by Neville Goddard and taught Elmer Lockyer Jr. exactly how to operate, okay, in the way that Neville Goddard taught. So I find that to be pretty damn appealing. I've listened to his stuff. He's got a lot of meditations out there you can listen to while you're sleeping, and it just really helps to trigger the subconscious mind, you know. It's really, really exciting. And to know the power of that. And there was a lady I was listening to that it's actually going to blow your mind. She talks about how you can manifest $10,000, $10,000, and on TikTok. I actually put that out there somewhere on my, I don't know, somewhere on my Facebook. But she's like, I want you to just imagine together. And first of all, you have to feel it. Like, oh, my God, I got $10,000. You know, you got to feel. It's not about seeing it or visualizing it, really. It's feeling. How would you feel if you got 10 grand right now? Someone gave you 10 grand, how would you feel? You would feel excited, all right? And she would raise your vibration. She would just go into this excitement and get you excited with her. And she would act as if, okay, let's go to the bank. Let's look at the dollars. Let's smell it, the $100 bills. You know, she'd get you to start imagining that. And I'll tell you, when I was listening to her, it actually has worked a couple times. I've actually was able to manifest $20,000. In cells and everything. I mean, it was really good. And she said, when you start to realize that money does not exist, okay, when you realize that money is not real, that money is just energy, you know you can attract it. You don't have to really work for it, even though it's very difficult for us to think like that. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I have to do something and work hours to bring that to me. You know what I mean? Like many of us are brought up like that. Like, oh, I don't see no money coming in unless I do something. I got to work at it. Right. And, but really, if we really understood the power that we can manifest things, we would realize that we wouldn't have to work so hard for it. And when you think about it, if you follow Robert Kiyosaki's work, he's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I really liked his book. I have a couple of his books. And he mentions, he says, dollars is trash. Dollars is not worth anything. What's worth everything is credit. And when you're taking money out in cash and spending it cash, I mean, he calls it trash because, like, when you go and spend it and you go to a, you know, grocery store and you just spend it, it's gone. But when you have a credit card and you spend your credit card at a grocery store, you know, it actually helps accumulate points. And not only that, it boosts up your credit score even more and more and more. So living on credit is really how we're supposed to be living, not living on cash. Because cash is not an asset. There's nothing backing it up. So therefore, and they print it like you wouldn't believe. They print it to infinity and they, you know, they lend it out and lend it out with high interest or whatever. And they keep on going, and but there's no backup. So, and I remember what he was saying. How can you save? Why would you save something that is being printed every single day? Why would you save something that is being printed every single day? That should go into some assets. That money should go into assets. It should go into like gold, silver. It should go into, you know, what else? Building up your credit. It should go into, you know, Bitcoin maybe, properties, land, anything to accumulate wealth along the way. And also, did you know that when you spend fiat money using a debit card, not a credit card, but a debit card, it's taxed. It's taxable. But when you spend instead credit card, you know, credit, using your credit card, it is not taxed because you are paying the bank. It is a loan. Okay, that's what it is. That's what credit is. It's a loan. And this is what the wealthy do. The very rich and the very wealthy do this. They take out loans and raise their credit score, and they keep building and building and building, and they could be in a crap load of money in debt, but that's the name of the game, because there is no getting out of debt, really, because you're dealing with debt notes all the time. How can you get out of debt completely? So Robert Kiyosaki states, he's like $20 billion in debt. You can never get out of debt. So you got to play the game. If you want to make a lot of money, you want to be wealthy, you got to play the game. So here in my age now, I'm just finally getting it, finally getting it. And I have really, really awesome credit. My credit has been built this past year, just awesome, beautiful credit. And I'm understanding the game a lot better now than I did before. Okay. So let me see. Yeah. Okay, this is, right. Yeah, he cannot. Yeah, okay. My guest, by the way, the guest cannot come on. It's not accepting calls. I'm going to let them know. Really quick, sorry about that. I'm just giving you a heads up. So, it's not accepting calls. That's why he cannot call in. I'm having a problem with Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, Blog Talk Radio has to get its crap together if I want to have my, you know, people to call in. That's a real bummer. Good goddess, man. All right, anyway, I'll just continue on here. But that is really the name of the game. And I remember one of my mentors told me, it's all about credit, living on credit, not living on cash. So now people are freaking out about this whole cashless society. And they're like, oh, my God, it's cashless society. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? But you know what? It's understanding how to play the game, okay? Understanding how to play the game. Oh, okay, so I do have a caller. Let me see. Let me see if this is Paul right here. Hello?
Hey, you. It's Joanne Moretti. Hey.
Hi,
I was calling you to see
Joanne.
If I could get in. How you doing, friend? Yeah, I was calling to see
I'm
if
good.
I could get in. Tell your guest to use another phone. See if that'll help. My Metro service won't let me call in there either.
Oh,
I have Metro's phone service. Yeah, it won't let me call from my cell phone. I'm using my house phone.
Huh. Okay. That's really weird.
Yeah,
so try using another phone.
Yeah, if he's got another cell phone, somebody in the house got a cell phone. Unless he can call in with call conferencing. Isn't there an 800 number we can call or you can call him?
No, I don't. I'm in Mexico.
Okay. Yeah, that could be an issue, too. Some cell services won't allow you to contact it, but
that's
I'm using
really...
my house phone that's on Comcast.
Yeah, I wonder why this is happening now.
I don't know, but it's good news for me because now I know I can call into Proof Show. Yeah, I'm supposed to be co-hosting
tonight. So the Comcast, okay, so your home phone, you can call in, no problem. But your Metro, right? You couldn't call in.
Right, but the Metro won't let me call like that. It says I need another service or try another line.
You know, that is interesting because even though I'm in Mexico, I have a cell phone, Mexican cell phone, but I can call out. But for some reason, I mean, I can call in the live, you know, like a guest calling number. I can call in through that, but I cannot call in through the 844 host call.
Yeah, you can't call
really
in.
Really weird.
Host, right. Wow.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for chiming on in, trying to figure out what's going on.
I just wanted to give you that info, and I don't know who your guest is or what your topic was, but if you get jammed up,
I'll
come back.
Okay, awesome.
All right, kiddo.
Awesome.
Have a good show.
Thank you so much. So nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
It's wonderful talking to you, too, Drew. Bye-bye.
Okay, so, I was just having some issue here. I guess that's really weird. It's really weird. Certain people are having issues trying to call in and everything. Oh, well. I might have to just do a Zoomy call with him. I think that's what I'm going to have to do. Because, you know what? This just shows that he has some very important information to share. And there's blocks. That is what it's telling me right now. You know? Major blocks, and I think that is what's going on. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take a quick little break here, and I will get back to you, okay? Thank you.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
That's right. The Jokers and Jesters Comedy Tour is back on the road. We are currently promoting our second Amazon Prime special, Jokers and Jesters, the next special. We will be touring small towns across this great country of ours. So for our tour dates, follow us on Facebook at Jokers and Jester Comedy Tour or at our website, jokersandjester.com. It's a great night of music, laughter, and magic. Don't miss us as we come to a small town near you.
Delivering the truth and exposing the lies. Join Russ and myself every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time while we deliver the truth about what's really going on in the world. You don't want to miss our show. See you then.
Hey there. Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine, just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world, or your money back.
It's your turn! Time to get the vaccine!
You want to.
Sorry, you have to!
No!
Do it!
No!
You have no choice!
No!
Now! Now! Or else!
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
It's the vaccine guy.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to...
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie, that government overreach is real. What about you, Johnny? We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave. And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld. Help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worsening heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
I'm Lauren Boebert, and I travel down to McAllen, Texas, to the Rio Grande Valley sector to see what's up at our southern border. So here's what's up at the border. Illegal aliens crossing the border. That's up. Sex offenders crossing the border. That's up. Drug trafficking, gun smuggling, human smuggling, that's up. Unaccompanied children being sent on this journey alone, and even worse, given over to the cartel, that is way, way up. You know what's not up at the southern border? Respect for law and order, funding for our border patrol. And where's the media to cover this crisis? More than 70 days ago, Biden named cackling Kamala as border czar, but she hasn't done a single thing to protect the American people. She hasn't even been down here to see the border or the tens of thousands of children wrapped in aluminum foil. You can't just hear about what's happening. You have to come down here to see for yourself, to really understand the devastating reality at our southern border. So I brought Kamala down to see exactly what this regime is responsible for with their man-made crisis. Now, Kamala, I want you to stand here and look at what you've done.
Yeah, that was funny. I love his commercials. I swear I love Freedomizer. I miss Freedomizer Radio's commercials, man. Oh, man, those are good times. Very funny. To the point, right? To the point. You know, this is a very awake and aware station, and that's what I love about Freedomizer Radio. They really know what the hell's going on, and that's the crew I like to hang out with. They know what the heck's happening, and, you know, they know that, goodness, my poor cat is, you okay, baby girl? She's got, like, a something on the side of her body. Ouch. Poor little girl. Her name's Pumpkin. Anyway, but so I guess my caller is having an issue calling in, so I guess we're going to have to reschedule another time. I might just do a Zoom call and then just upload the MP3 or something like that, because really this would have been an awesome call, an awesome show tonight. You know, he was really wanting to come on board, but there's an issue with calling in. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be at a certain time, I guess. But let's get on with it here. So, you know, it's coming to the point where we all have to wake up, you know, that wake up time. And there's so many of us out there. And this is what I feel. I feel that there is a renaissance coming, that we're getting to the point where we're waking up a lot. You know, they don't want to show that on the news. They just want to show like how many people are really stupid, and they want to make, you know, they want to act stupid and everything and just act like, oh yeah, 90% of the herd is all stupefied, but they're really not. I would think it's more of a 50-50, maybe even more than that, maybe a 70, you know, 70% of people are just really awake. They know what's going on and they're just not taking it anymore. And really, I mean, it all begins with good education. I mean, if we would have had good education, let's say about dealing with money, dealing with a credit system, how to operate, how to not go broke and be poor, you know, that type of stuff. I think that people would, there would not be so much stealing. There would not be so much crime going on if we had appropriate education. It all begins there, you know, and that is what the system is completely lacking. And it's not, they know this, it's actually rigged that way. You know, they want to educate slaves. That's the whole point. But we do have choices. We are free to make choices to say, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I can do something else. And, you know, back to what I was saying, you know, for the expats that are making money online, that have been YouTubers for many years, influencers like me, I've been an influencer for so many years, and they're making it very difficult for them now because they're not allowed to speak their truth about certain things. You know, anything they talk about now, it's like, oh, you better watch out. You're going to get a smack in the face, you know, and not only that, you know, the algorithms are just making it more difficult, more harder, you know, because they're seeing people free to travel wherever they want to, making a lot of money. They don't have to live in the States anymore. They're taking their money somewhere else. They're spending their money somewhere else. And that's just it. And, or they're investing somewhere else. I mean, look at the Nomad Capitalist guy. I've been watching him for many years. You know, he's an American and he ended up leaving the States, renounced his American citizenship and just lived his life. And he ended up, you know, buying property all over the world and showed that he's doing pretty good. You know what I mean? It could be very tough though in doing that. You know, you have to make sure that you're able to have a good amount of money coming in, and, you know, where are you going to get good credit as well? Because I'll tell you, here in Mexico, the interest rates are ugly. Like, I would rather get loans and good credit in the United States than I would here in Mexico anytime. And here in Mexico, people, when they buy houses, they buy houses in cash. They don't use loans here in Mexico anyway, because the interest is so freaking high. But you get better rates in the United States. So what people will do is they'll either take out a loan in the States, or they'll buy property there, they'll sell their property, and then they'll buy something down here for a lot less than what they would be paying over there, you see. So, yeah, there's just a lot of migration going on, a lot of people just moving away and leaving. And, you know, I mean, I don't believe that renouncing your citizenship is the way, really, to tell you the truth. And this is what I've learned, because when you renounce your citizenship, you know, there's no way that you can have access to the banks anymore, you know, getting any help, credit help, or anything like that. And it could be very, very tough. I mean, you got to be really, really independent, if you know what I mean. But I actually have ways that I've helped my students where they don't have to renounce their citizenship, you know. If they're in a big pickle, big situation, there's ways that they can handle or erase certain judgments, certain lawsuits, utilizing the power of a foreign trust, which I've been sharing with them, and I was able to use this trust to wipe out child support, because what was happening was, you know, they were in the wrong because my ex-husband just wanted me to hurt. He didn't need the money. He didn't care about the money. He just did it to get me upset, to piss me off. That wasn't enough, because I put it out there on YouTube what he was doing to me. And he didn't like that. So he felt threatened. So he had to hurt me another way. He knew that traveling was always my thing, that I always wanted to travel the world and trying to get my passport taken away. But luckily, you know, out of the blue, I was able to get my Mexican passport, and then I'm able to renew my American passport. I already have a new one, and I'm perfectly fine. But, I was able to renew my passport because of the help of my foreign trust that helped me to wipe out child support on my credit report, completely wiped out to show that it was paid, even though I never paid it, okay, paid the big amount that was owed. And because I said, look, you know, I want to see my kids. If you don't let me see my kids, I'm not paying you shit. And he could not do that. So because he knew that I would be able to talk to them, and he did everything he could to make their lives a living hell. And both my kids are kind of, they're not really balanced. You know, they would have had a more wholesome life if I was involved in their lives, at least that. And they would have more of an entrepreneurial spirit. Like my two kids right now, my youngest ones that live with me, my youngest daughter, she's a musician, and she makes really good money on Spotify. She makes like $4,000 or $5,000 a month, that girl. And my son, he's an artist. He makes really good money as well. And they learn to be entrepreneurs, how to work for themselves, just by following their passions. I never teach them to go look for a job, to work for the rich. You know, I say, if anything, you're going to be the rich, and you have others work for you. You see what I mean? That was my education growing up by my parents, because they were real estate. They were into real estate. They bought real estate. And my dad was a very hardworking man, and my mom, you know, hardworking as well as a housewife. And she was very smart when it came to laws and money and all of that. She was a freaking awesome lady with that. So we were always taught to work for ourselves and not work for the government, work for other people. And even though I joined the Army, I wanted to be different. I wanted to be a little rebel, you know. I'm going to do something different. And I did it because, you know, I did it because what happened with the Twin Towers, and we thought it was an outside job, but we ended up finding out later on it was an inside job. Oh, hallelujah to that, right? It was an inside job the whole time. I didn't know that until later on. So, yeah, you know, so my kids grew up differently. My eldest were raised by him, and then he is, you know, he works for like an AutoZone, works a 9-to-5-er job, you know what I mean, and wants to drink a lot and do coke and, you know, all that shit. And, but yet, you know, my poor kids, they didn't really learn much from this guy. He did it because he was a vindictive asshole to keep my kids from me. Unfortunately, I could not win the custody battle. It was just too long, and it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight the person. And that's what my brother had to go through. He had to move to, you know, the States to go fight for his son that he hasn't seen in 9 years, and the ex-wife turned into a drug addict. Horrible story, but he had to stay there for 2 years, and he ended up spending over $100,000. You got to have a lot of money to fight in these courts when it comes to custody battles. You know what I mean? It's pretty heavy shit. And a lot of it, you know, of course we know the court system is rigged, because that's all they want is money, money, money. They want to find a reason to keep your ass there, and then so they can take your kid, really. Even though if the parent's good enough for them, no, we're going to take your freaking kid, you know? And it's funny because I had a really scary dream like 3 nights ago of a woman. She was a Black American, and she had a beautiful son. He was gorgeous, and he was so cute in my dream. Like, he would giggle. He was the cutest little thing ever. Oh, my gosh. And I was helping her out. I said, you know what? I said, do not give your kid away. Like, I was there in the States with her, and I'm like, do not have those effing CPS people come and get your kid. I said, do not do that. Whatever you do. If I were you, put that child on a trust, in your foreign trust. I was doing all that. You know, every now and then I'll have dreams that I'm actually helping people in the States in person, you know, going through the motions and helping her to put her kid on her trust and, you know, record it in the county recorder's office and let them know, hello. You know, she doesn't own the child. It's the trust that owns the child. It's a foreign entity. He's part of a foreign entity. And then after that, she was able to fight. And then I woke up. You know, it was a crazy dream. but it could mean something. It could mean that there's so many, that people are going to get to that point and they're going to get desperate and they'll say, you know what, please, I need to get, if anything, the trust is the most important thing. Having this silver bullet trust is so freaking important for people. They don't realize it. They don't realize what the hell it is because they're not educated on it, on what a trust can do, but not a domestic trust. Domestic trust can only get you so far because you're still within the system and they can still liquidate everything that you have in your domestic trust because you could be called into their court domestically. But if everything was listed on a foreign trust, they could not even bring you into court because the trust is foreign completely. So that's what would protect you from any seizures, having your kids taken from you, because now you've shifted your status from a debtor slave to a diplomat in that way. You are executor of your estate, of that trust. You are the one in control of it. So, you know, that is what I've been helping people with. You know, like I said, they're shadow banning this information. And I've even had emails where people are like, oh my gosh, I try to look up this information and I can't seem to find it. Like they look up secure creditor or secure party creditor or whatever, you know, learning about these trusts and so forth. They're like, they're not able to find it anymore. They're not able to locate it. Like it's really getting difficult because they're shadow banning the keywords. You know, if you write anything about that right away, they will shadow ban that shit. And I just saw even more proof of it today. So it's like, it's not the fact that people aren't interested. It's the fact it's not getting out to a bunch of people when it should be getting out there. And they know that it threatens them because the more people that understand this knowledge, the more that they can keep their kids, number one, you know, keep the assets that they actually, you know, own outright and keep their bank safe from seizures and high taxes and getting frozen and all of that because they have a special status that you cannot get with a domestic trust. Domestic trust is good for some things, but you can also put your domestic trust on the silver bullet trust as well to protect it. So it's because of that I was able to wipe out child support, and that is my why. But now that I'm free, that is an old news. That's old story for me. Now it's time to move on in my life. You know what I mean? Time to move on. And I've helped as many people as I possibly can. I've done the work. But, you know, people are just going to have to figure it out on their own. They're going to have to pray or put it out there and say, hey, universe, you know, help me find a way. And that's what I did, you know, before I even knew what being a secure creditor was all about. I just put it out there to the universe. I said, please help me with the situation. Help me combat my ex. What is it that I need to do? Show me what it is I need to do. And you know what? The answers came. So we have, we are fully equipped with all the answers in the world because it's inside of us. It is in the Akashic records. It is held in the memories, in the deep psyche of the brain, if you will, in our cellular memory from ancient times, since we've been reincarnating here so many freaking times. And we need to realize that we are actually God or goddess, okay? We're like little gods right now because we're still trying to figure it out, but we're not into our full glory yet. But all you have to do is ask and it is given. Ask and it is given. Ask, but there's certain ways you have to ask for answers. How can I do this? Give me an answer. Show me a way. What is it that I'm not seeing? You know, show me. What is it? So show me something so I can see. And sure shit, you will be given an answer. And it does work out like that. It really does. That's just how it is. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the power that you have and hold. You know, if you can't look it up on Google, you can't look it up on ChatGPT, you can look it up by connecting to your higher self, your higher I am, and find out the answers that way. Of course, that's something we were never taught, but, you know, in the Buddhist schools, they know all about this. That's why they meditate for answers. They know that There is nothing outside of them. Everything is inside of them. You see where I'm going with this? There's nothing outside of them. There's everything inside of them. And you are, you know, everything that's outside looks like, you know, we see with our eyes, the five senses is projected of light. But that's only 4% compared to all the spectrum of light that we see, which is like 90-something percent, 95% that we don't see. We only see a specific percentage. That's why we go by utilizing our feelings, our empathic abilities, you know, our psychic abilities. If we work on it enough, that's all we can do. I mean, that's the power that we really have. And by doing that, it's called, you know, developing your senses, developing your psychic senses, getting into that, learning about that, tapping in, knowing that there's something in your psyche somewhere or in the spiritual realm that is there to help and assist you always, no matter where you're at in life. You know, whatever, it's there. It's always there for you. Because I know this because it's happened to me. That's why I know what I know. But I am very, very sorry. I really wanted to have this gentleman on board tonight. I was really getting excited to talk with him. He's going to have so much information to share. So I might just have to reschedule for another time, maybe Friday night or something. I'm going to talk to him about that and get this show going. And I'm going to upload it onto Freedomized Radio here, so you guys can get it. And I'll be uploading it onto YouTube and Rumble and BitChute. I got a BitChute channel, channel on BitChute and channel on Rumble as well. So, yeah. And there's so many things. I have another guest that's going to be calling in, but I got to make sure he has a phone before he calls in. And his name is William. He is the Black Magician that I've known for 8 years as well. And he's going to be calling in on Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And from what I remember, I think he said he doesn't have a cell phone, so he's got a home phone. So I think he'd be fine calling in because he has a lot of information to share. He's got an information where he was at a hospital and he was face-to-face with a vampire nurse. And it is one of the most haunted hospitals in all of Ohio, extremely haunted. And what he told me just really opened my eyes. I was like, what? So he says, you need to be careful. He says, there are vampires amongst us, and we need to be aware. Just like, you know, the celebrities, I'm not saying all of them, but you know, many of the celebrities, people in Hollywood, the child trafficking going on, that's for the vampires. Those, and it makes perfect sense. Who the hell would eat human flesh? Who in the hell would eat human beings? It would be a cannibal, obviously, like Jeffrey Dahmer, you know? I just want to puke when I think about it. But in a big scale like this, you know, we're not talking about there used to be a small island. I think it was called the Cook's Island, and they were cannibals at one time. This was many, many, many years ago. I think it was Fiji. I think Fiji was one of them. But they had human, you know, they were eating humans and shit, you know, certain parts of the world. But where would they learn that from? That's the question. Where would they have learned that from? So, but if you got cannibals in a lot larger scale, which children are involved, and it becomes like a $150 billion a year moneymaker, there's a problem with that. And the United States is the biggest consumer. They are the biggest child traffickers in the world. So, you know, and it's not just because people have a lot of money, they're rich, and they're so rich they don't know what to do with themselves, they got to find some excitement. No, these people are freaking vampires. you know, and I'm going to tell you, I was part of the whole gothic scene for a long time. I love gothic music, by the way. I love gothic industrial. I'll always love it till the day I go. But, you know, I was thinking that's mostly, you know, the wannabe vampires, you know, people that were like just dressed up like vampires. They look cool, whatever. But there are really real vampires, like cold ice skin, dead, walking around The Walking Dead and actually eating people and drinking blood. They really exist. And it's hard to understand. It's hard to believe because, you know, we've been told by Hollywood, oh, no, it's just it's a joke. It's not really real. You know what I mean? It's not real. It's just a joke. It's just, you know, it's just funny. You know, it's just a horror flick. Sorry, I'm opening the door. Hey, babies. And that's it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, it's really, really interesting just how it is. But it's really happening, guys. And that's the thing you have to realize. You've got to protect your children, number one. Can I have some of that? Can I have a little? Okay. You have to protect your kids from these vampires. They want to get involved in the entertainment industry. They want to get involved in something, you know, or the CPS. The CPS is for the vampires, and they don't even realize what they're doing. I mean, some CPS, I'm sure they're good. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But now it's becoming such a business to take the kids and, you know, do what they want with them and rape them and all that. And that's why I got my kids out of there in the first place. I got them out of there. Out of California, and I'm glad I did because sure shit, look what happened. When COVID hit, what happened? All the kids, before they go to school, they all had to be inoculated with this COVID shit. And I go, oh my gosh, like hell would I allow that to ever happen to my children? No way. No way. That's just not how what you do. But, eating the Cheetos right now. But anyway, I got 16 minutes left here. So you really need to do some research on vampirism. You know, we had it, most of the people, the big players running the show, they're vampire people. And I had a guy actually comment about it. He goes, well, vampires are Jews. And I go, well, he's painting everybody with the same brush, and that's not right. There are certain sects, fanatical sects, groups that are in the Jewish religions, and they are the Bolsheviks, they are the Zionists, and I don't even think that they're even Jewish, because if they were Jewish, they'd be following Judaism, thou shalt not kill, okay? So I wouldn't even consider them Jewish. I would consider them, like I said, I mean, they have to be cannibals. If they like blood and they need it, they're cannibals. And there are certain species that are not from this planet. Maybe not from this planet, or maybe they are from this planet. We don't really realize, and we were just brought here to feed them. Who knows? Kind of like in that movie, Jupiter Ascending. That's a very good movie to watch. That kind of tells you everything what the elites do. They just destroy a planet. You know, they pretty much, everyone disappears for their, whatever it is, their essence. So that this queen bitch in outer space can go ahead and just bathe in it. She reminds me of Elizabeth Bathory. She was a countess out of Hungary. And she used to bathe in women's blood. Yes. She was the cousin of Vlad, the Impaler, who was said to be a vampire. And he impaled people, and not only that, he would eat them. He would dip his bread into their blood. And I read a story about Elizabeth Bathory years ago when I was 13 because I was really, really, really into the paranormal. And I was just into the thing about England and the Middle Ages, you know, how they used to dress. I was just very fascinated. But when I read about them, you know, when I read about them, I realized, I read about her, I was like, how the hell does somebody do this? You can't be human. And what happened was she smacked a maid across the face and blood came out and she felt the blood and she put it on her face and she used it to make herself young. But no, she was just a fucking vampire, all right? It's real easy, real simple. But, you know, when they glamorize it, it's because they want people to like it. So that way they can okay it, that it could be more acceptable in society for when they finally come out, we'll think it's cool or something, you know? But this is when magic comes in. This is when you utilize the power of your magical side to kick some ass. Okay. So anyway, I got 13 minutes left. So anyway, check me out on RavenMoonShadowTemple.com. If you want a psychic intuitive reading, tarot reading, I do offer those as well. I've been offering that this past couple weeks. And check out our t-shirts. If you vibe, awesome, grab them. You know, helps us support our work and for us to keep on going. And I will let you know when my book comes out. I'm on chapter 6. Just have a few more chapters to go, and then I'll let you know. It should be on Amazon pretty soon. It's probably going to be like a book or a book with an e-course. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with that. I might just release a book by itself and see how that goes, and I'll let you know. It's just how to operate on the left-hand path as a magician, how to deal with vampires, too, how to deal with what you need to do, and how to protect yourself and your family, of course. Utilizing the power of magic, of course. All right, guys. You all have a wonderful evening. Happy Wednesday. Talk to you soon, and I'll see you on Sunday with my good friend William. Bye for now.